You're listening to the Technology Whisperers with myself, Alistair Ross, and my co-host,
Sean Muller.
Hey, Sean. How are you doing, buddy?
Well, making it. This is the last episode before the end of the year. So yeah. We won't be recording any after this one. Christmas is just around the corner, like less than 2 weeks away. So this is our last episode of the year, and it is an exciting episode. We have a wonderful guest in the podcast today, and we love having guests. We have such great conversations. So, Alistair, why don't you introduce us?
Right. Okay. Well, we have the very wonderful, as you say, Sean, you're very spot on there, spot on. We have Anna Lezhikova, and she's from Defend Cybersecurity, and she's here today to talk about something that's probably a little bit downplayed, shall I say, and I think Anna will probably correct me on that a bit more, but I would say it's probably a bit downplayed in the world of cybersecurity. And we've had a fair few podcasts in the area of cybersecurity because it's obviously something that I have my own business in, and it's obviously something that I'm very passionate about. But I think it's a topic which is growing in importance from a both regulatory perspective, but also a governance perspective. And the most important thing, I believe, is everything starting with risk. And I think the problem is in New Zealand, perhaps, that that might be downplayed a little bit. So Anna's here, and she's going to talk about cybersecurity risk management today. So welcome along, Anna. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Hi.
Hello. Very happy to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. So Anna, let's get kicked off then. I've mentioned there about risks and basically the aspect of risk management and the thought about risk management. Now, the reason that I started my business, Revolution InfoSec, plug, is basically because I felt like we needed to go to cybersecurity with a slightly different twist. I think the organizations that I've spoken to, the potential clients that I've spoken to, a lot of them were just thinking that the cybersecurity thing was this technology-based thing. It's all ones and zeros. And I was like, no, actually, it's all about your business, your organizational risk. So businesses really understand risk. They understand what would happen if there was a cyclone or a tsunami or, you know, an earthquake hitting their business offices and whatever and taking out their business. Well, it's the same sort of conversation that we have about cybersecurity. And yes, cybersecurity is a pretty complicated beast, but ultimately, you know, if we can capture businesses on that standard level of understanding what the risks are and how they might apply to each of your businesses, then we're in a really good space. So can you tell us a bit about how you see the risk landscape here in New Zealand with regards to cybersecurity right now? And then maybe talk about some trends that you're seeing them across managed organizations.
Yeah. So I'm a senior cybersecurity consultant, Defend. It means I work with multiple customers at the same time. And during the last year and a half, I was very lucky to witness to work with different companies, small, big, private, government. And after some period of time, I started noticing like patterns or trends, and not just how, what people do, but how people think. And then when I even looked at internationally, because I'm a big NIST fan, and I participate in their workshops and just look what they do and go to their events that the people from, it's very global community, and people from all over the world discuss the things, I realized it's not just New Zealand problem, it's global problem. And then I saw parallels with the very known problem that we talk about, like Agile came to save us from manufacturing world problems when we now have knowledge producing people, and then our conveyor approach doesn't work for them. And then we invented Agile. So environment changed, but we are still behind with the 5 day of 8 to 5 work days and in office only work. We are shifting to more flexible working and remote working just to reflect the changes in the environment and be more efficient for what environments demand of us. The same happening in cybersecurity, in IT in general. So if you look at the history of digital, you will find that the digital, like cyber and digital information and the creation of it and use of it, existed only, started as an academia in labs at universities and existed only there. Then military and space programs started utilizing it little by little. The first commercial use was just in late 50s, early 60s. That just, it was one company started using this. And then eventually it started to grow. And IBM started producing these systems, and Fortran was a business language, right? It was a computer language designed for business purposes. And then more and more and more, but till an internet came to our world, and we started growing this digital use in the in the businesses. And you have your business like a big square, and then you have IT that would service your parts of your business. That's you'll just document management, maybe communication from time to time, and that would be IT. And then inside of IT, you had the security function that was to provide the secure way of doing this digital part of your business. But with time, the digital world became not just part of the business, it became a parallel world, not just for businesses, but for us individuals. Now everyone has digital life and every company has a digital copy in this digital world. So company digital imprint or digital living, it's not just this square, it's everything. So IT department now is responsible for everything in the company because every business function today got digital aspect. Everything, especially with OT, IoT, it's even your heavy machinery is part of the digital world. And IT is still here and security is still part of the IT. It means we are trying to secure this environment while we have influence and we are placed in this tiny square.
Mm-hmm. I often think as well that cybersecurity hasn't evolved as much as the rest of the IT plane. Yep. And what I mean by that is that if we think back maybe 15 or 20 years ago, I mean, I can probably draw analogies to when I first came to New Zealand in 2010. Now, what I felt like was happening was that the IT department were a department of an organization, and they were kind of like in, if you imagine, in the dungeons or the basement, down at the bottom of an organization. Yep. They were sat down there with a lot of IT nerds in there, bashing away keyboards, didn't watch very much. And so the classical nerdy IT department, and really were not in sync with what the requirements of the business were. So the business is obviously there to, well, if business make money, and they have certain requirements to enable them to do that. But the IT department weren't really thinking about the business. They didn't think about profit and loss, and they didn't think about anything like that. They were purely, you know, over there doing their own geeky thing. And sometimes they kind of rolled their eyes and did what their big bosses asked of them. But ultimately, yeah, they were quite disjointed. Now, fast forward maybe to the mid 2000s or maybe just after that, it started to be realigned. We had our business leaders, you know, senior leadership team, management team, even the board maybe started to go, actually, what you were saying there, Anna, was that you know, everything's become a digital life. Everything in our own lives and also in the workplace is all digital, right? Everything. So all of a sudden, now these functions within the leadership of the business are saying, hold on, all of this information is really, really important to us. So we need to actually make IT part of a functional business unit, no longer just something sitting in the basement that kind of talk ones and zeros to us, but don't actually relate to our business outcomes.
Yep.
So then we had IT kind of dovetail into a real proper business function. Yep. Now,
everyone today in the business, everyone, your accountant, your truck driver, touches your digital system, information system. Yeah. They interact with it, sometimes directly by logging in, doing things, sometimes just moving operating machinery that registers this movement with the beacons and GPS or any other links.
So what I was thinking is that not always is it the case. I mean, this is a gross generalization, of course, but not always is it the case where the cybersecurity part or those IT people, the cybersecurity people within the IT division have caught up. They're not always as mature as where the IT department is, because we're seeing the IT department's aligned, but not necessarily the cyber aligned with the business. And that's a real shame.
Well, I think the evolution that happened, and Alistair, you touched on it, and Anna, you actually called it out. I think the evolution was is that the business realized that IT was part of the business. And I think that the disconnect that's happened with cybersecurity is that the business doesn't understand the risk profile that the cyber events could have on their business. And so because of that, it's an afterthought. It's something that they do because the IT department told them they need to do it. But fundamentally, the business doesn't understand, okay, my entire business, you know, the DHB in South Island, if I have ransomware on my machines, I'm not going to be able to do my business.
Yes, it's even worse because it's not just neutralization, it's a false safety. Because we have IT, inside of IT, like I go into customer and most of the time I will talk to some guy who is very technical and in charge of security. Most likely it will be somewhere platforms, infrastructure or CTO or somewhere in this area. And then they have a bunch of security controls. Some of them will be very expensive and complex. And when you ask them, what do you have? They'll show, oh, I have this, this, and this, and this, and this. And they create this report and they say, oh, we have this from Microsoft, this from Palo Alto. We have this support and we spend this money on these products.
Yeah.
But when I come in, I just ask them the first questions. The first question, how these controls reduce your business risks?
Right.
And they don't know because
that's huge.
Business like cyber risks identified, there is no register, there is no mapping with the controls, no one evaluating controls. Like everyone is doing the best job to of their best knowledge. And the best knowledge comes, unfortunately, only from the technical background. And there's a lot of technical amazing tools that do an amazing job. But main question is it what you need right now? Does it make your business less exposed, like more secure? And I'm not saying it doesn't. The answer is we don't know.
Yeah. So just to go back to something you mentioned earlier, you mentioned NIST. So for the listeners, that if you've never heard of NIST, what NIST is, it's actually a government agency based in the US. It's the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And they have a framework called the NIST 800-53, which is the cybersecurity framework, CSF. Now, I think one of the good things about that particular framework is a lot of it doesn't necessarily talk about that technology, does it, Anna?
I love NIST in general, and I will share a link to the resources. And they have amazing publications. CSF is a framework. And just remind me, let's talk about the whole risk pipeline and how this framework fits onto it. This is very important for business to understand. This is simple, like just pipeline, how it's all connected. But they've got a risk management framework. It's SP800T9, risk management 37 and risk assessment 30. I recommend these publications to just look into. And what I love about them the most, they're very flexible and they are all mapped to the CSF, like cybersecurity framework. And what I like about the framework is that it covers your whole organization. So currently it consists of five functions and it's identify, protect, detect, respond, recover. And it covers not only your technical controls like your data encryption or network security, it's incident response and respond, recover and your communications. But I really love identify function that has a lot of governance and risk management questions and assets identification and how just do you know what you've got? You can't protect what you don't know what you have. So you need just to define, we've got this. You need to identify critical assets. And again, assets, it's not just your systems. It's people, process, physical assets, it's information assets. Everything that you need to run your business.
And I think that's one of the points that I think a lot of people, what I said earlier about, you know, people thinking that cybersecurity is about technology, but no, when we actually look at a framework like the NIST one, we can clearly see that there's a lot of emphasis on defining all of those related assets,
processes, technology, and different people and different organizations will tell different proportions. what we believe and defend that the people, at least half of it, maybe 60% of all security controls are relying on people. Then the second big chunk is processes, and technology can be down to 20 or 10% of all your controls. It's so easy to choose from technological solutions today. There's so many things you can use, but without knowing what you're protecting, to what extent, because what's important to understand, you can't reduce risk down to zero. This is bad. It's called overspending, right? So yeah. You need to reduce it to acceptable level. What's your acceptable level? So this all requires business involvement. We need business to tell us what's important for you, what you're trying to achieve, what's your goals, what's just what wants you to be secure. And then we say, okay, this is like red before the depth of controls. So we really want to have a good coverage of all types of controls before we make one of the area perfect, right? And tools are so easy. I really love Einstein's reply to a question. If you had only 1 hour to solve a problem, what would you do? And he said, I would spend 50 minutes on defining the problem and 10 minutes on finding the solution. So technical tools like tech is solution.
So yeah. Anna, our starting point is that a lot of the businesses don't even understand how to define their own risk.
Yep.
And so what I've seen, because I've done a lot of security consulting as well, is that oftentimes the businesses do ask for, I need zero risk. Do whatever it takes, buy whatever it takes, go, I need to get to zero risk. And I spend all of my time talking them through this process of understanding what the cost to value ratios are for what they're aiming at. And then what it boils down to is they don't even understand what the risk to them is. If they go buy a piece of equipment, the bank tells them you have to have insurance. The bank tells them, right? So we're going to borrow money to buy this big crane. The bank tells me that I got to have a certain amount of insurance.
Yep.
They don't even understand within their business when they buy assets what the risks are. And then we're asking them to kind of get their head around the idea that their technology drives a risk level and where they need to be. Yep. And so, yeah, the business people just go, make it zero.
Yeah, you make it zero. Just tell or show them the budget. And maybe not zero. Mm-hmm. What I do is we do threat modeling. Like threat modeling, I also recommend, just Google it. There's so many materials around it. I really love a WASP website has a page about threat modeling. Recommend this approach. Used it, enjoy it. In New Zealand, we have a threat modeling expert, John Delia. Just Google him up, find him on LinkedIn. He runs workshops. He can provide material. Highly recommend if you're really interested to get in touch with him and just look up of his what he offers online, and he can lead you to other resources. But OWASP got a very good list of resources. And we just do threat modeling. We just go in and start ask business questions. And during the workshop, they realize, that's what it means. Oh, that's how I should see it. So we really changed their view, like their mindset on threats. So I always ask from, what are you doing? So what's your system? And then I ask, what can go wrong?
Mm. Yeah. Let me just go back to an earlier point then, just before we go off and delve a little bit deeper. And so I'm just playing the devil's advocate here. Yep. So imagine that I'm a small to medium business and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, all of this sounds quite difficult. And also, it sounds quite expensive. Yeah. A lot of business owners or leadership know that they probably have to do something nowadays with regards to cyber security. But hey, I've not been hacked before. It's never going to happen to me because I'm a small business and I'm in New Zealand. It's never going to happen. So why should I care? So I think it's the larger organizations that they've probably got a sophisticated IT department that have a level of involvement in cybersecurity already. But when we look at the statistics, 97% of New Zealand, our businesses are less than 20 staff. So what would you say to those businesses that really are struggling to grasp why they should have cybersecurity at all? And, you know, and where to put their money. Yeah, exactly.
So let's start with why. I really love to use earthquake analogy when I talk about risk. I really love it because, it hasn't happened to me. And we, especially here in New Zealand and in like Wellington, I'm like based in Wellington, after a couple of earthquakes, you realize, it can happen. And you learn about possible consequences. And after the Christchurch one, we really now understand that, yes, it's not happening every year or every few years, but the impact can be devastating. So we really need to prepare. We need to assess and strengthen our buildings. We need to have this emergency readiness kits. We have drills. And I really love this analogy with cybersecurity. You are not hacked yet. The question is not if. The question is when.
When?
And I can tell you that the threat environment is changing rapidly. And with the open AI tools today, it means every kid now have access to tools that can hack you in no time. Like before, they didn't do this only because you were not interesting enough for them and the effort was too high. Today, effort is getting lower, lower and lower the threshold. It means a bored teenager just will find you online and will do it for fun just to show off in front of their friends.
I actually, this morning, I went into ChatGPT and asked it to write me the scripts for a Metasploit hack.
Mm-hmm.
And I told it to be creative and it came back with a fairly good.
Very good. It's
very good.
Yeah. On the other hand, the crisis of living is not just New Zealand problem. It's a global problem. And people are pushed out of their ethical boundaries, right? So they're pushed to do things they wouldn't consider before.
So let me take Alistair's devil's advocate just a little bit farther, because I'm a small to medium business, right? And I say, okay, I get your analogy, Anna, but I pay for insurance. I don't own a building. So instead of me strengthening my building, I just go out and buy building insurance and it covers me for what I want to do. There are companies that sell IT insurance for IT events that happen. One of the struggles that I have, though, is they don't understand the risk profile that their business has to cybersecurity is significantly higher than, say, an earthquake event or a fire or a tornado that hits Lower Hutt. How do you have that discussion to get them?
With insurance?
Yeah.
Show me a middle-sized company or small company that has cyber insurance.
Oh, they don't. Yeah.
Because it's more expensive. And why is it expensive? Because there are very high requirements for insurance company to get to the premiums you can afford.
Yep.
When you get to these premiums, I would just question, do you need insurance now? Because you have all these controls to meet insurance requirements. Yep. Do you really need insurance?
And every year that goes past, these cyber insurance premiums are going up because the level, like there will be a year at some point that in the not too distant future, where I think cybersecurity insurance will probably become something of the past. They just won't offer it. But even if that doesn't happen, even if you have insurance, what happens to your reputational damage?
Exactly. Reputation plus, it's like we still don't have a supported liability. And I don't know how many cases, something happened to you, in how many cases insurance will tell you, no, it's not covered because of the third-party liability that's not covered by anyone. So, you should not have installed this software. It's your fault that you installed this untrusted software, so we're not covering you. Plus, reputation, it's like health, in personal health. Yes, you've got insurance, like medical insurance. Yes, you can go to hospital and to get treatment, but now you've got lifelong consequences.
Yeah.
Instead of like preventing and like instead of investing into prevention and protection, right? So that's the same. And that's why for the small businesses, I would say, don't be scared by big words and even in NIST, big phrases. When you read NIST, I can understand that it can be very scary and putting you off because it talks about government agencies, national significance. I understand that. That's why I recommend to have someone to help you to translate it. That's what I do. I just like, yeah, this is NIST principles, how you translate it to small business. And for small business, I just always recommend, if you're small, it doesn't mean you should not have policies, standards, controls. You should have everything any enterprise have, but in a tiny size, tiny scale. Your information policy will be 3 pages. Your standard will be 1 page. Your processes will be 3 steps instead of 33 steps and 5 authorizing people for enterprise. So for small businesses, I would recommend a security book written here in New Zealand by Laura Bell and Erica Anderson, two amazing women doing so much important stuff for security community in New Zealand. There will be a link in description to this podcast. And yep. If you're a small business, just start with this book, honestly. And I also encourage you to find help. There are a bunch of very nice and affordable consultants that will just help you to start this journey. And don't hesitate to ask for help. And don't think that security is only for big enterprises. No, it's for everyone. It's like for the earthquake. You should have your emergency kit in your house and water. And it doesn't have to be a huge bin we have in office multi-level buildings. It can be just one bag, but you still need it. You can't say, oh, I'm small, I don't need emergency kit, right? I'm small, I don't need it.
So in lieu of reading a book, in lieu of paying a consultant, if we could break it down then for the listeners here and now, you've obviously talked about having policies in place. And we've also talked about having an asset register with not only just people, process, policy, the data / information flow, the information technology itself. But what are the other things? Like, for example, backup. Yeah.
Let's talk about cyber risk pipeline.
Yeah.
So that's a very easy one. Just think about your risk management, cyber risk management at the circle, like a pipeline that's repeats all the, like they have many iterations. You start with identifying threats and critical assets. So what's important to your business? What brings value to your business? So what is your business about? What can you run business without? Without what people and their knowledge in their heads, without what equipment, without what IP. Just put it down onto a list, into a spreadsheet or in a Word document. Now you have a list of your critical assets. Now ask yourself what the worst thing can happen to these things, what threats. And then say, okay, these bad things can happen to my critical assets. Then you say, if these bad things happens, how likely for my business in this environment, in this country, this thing can happen in the next year? And if it happens, what the impact would be? And you can use a very simple scale like unlikely or for sure, like 1 to 3 or 1 to 5. And for impact, like devastating, major or minor, not significant. You can Google what metrics, risk metrics to use. Then you have likelihood, impact, you've got risk. You'll have, I don't know, 5, 10, 20 most important information security risks for your business. Now you have a list of them. Now choose a framework, even NIST. You'll have a lot of difficult, like 108 controls in there. Don't use all of them. Just look through all the controls and say, yeah, this applies to me. This applies to me. And have a list of controls that are applicable to your business. Now say that these controls maps like will reduce this risk. You can either Google it or you can ask someone to help you out to say these controls will reduce this risk. And now you can combine these controls that you just most likely to be implemented together into initiatives. You have, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 initiatives. You need to implement these controls to reduce these risks. And now put these initiatives onto a timeline, depending on your resources, and say, okay, I'm doing this thing from this month, this thing in this month. Now you have a roadmap.
Yeah.
And suddenly, and that leads with the program.
Yes, exactly. And that leads me to another point that you've touched on, I think earlier, which is that information security is one of these things that isn't just a one and done thing.
No.
It's, you know, an ongoing process. What do you have to say on that?
Yes. So unfortunately, fortunately, I don't know, just how the world works, that we are not talking about security as a state of something you achieve or something you build. I prefer to talk about like your security posture or cybersecurity resilience. This is the most important like thing. Resilience means that you are ready, like you can change easily, you can adapt to the changing environment. Because everything around us doesn't stay in the same state. So many things happening all the time, so your risk profile changes, your risks change. Some become obsolete, new appear, their rating changes. So the, like Darwin said, right, like evolutionary, so who survives? A species that can evolve fast enough to survive the changing environment. Same here, your organization can survive only if it can change fast enough according to the environment changes. So that's
now, I've got a question there. So I've had a few clients or prospective clients recently, and I was speaking to them about, you know, why don't we do some sort of assessment of risk for them? And they said, no, I'm all good with cyber. The most risky thing that we've got inside of our office is, I think one of them said, the coffee maker, because it's really sophisticated. I said, okay, so where is all your information? Where does all your data go? And they said, oh, it's all in the cloud. I say, okay. he said that makes it secure. I was like,
of course.
Really? How does that make it secure? So what would you say?
Out of mind, right?
Yeah. Well, so what would you say to that particular customer? Why is a cloud not actually as necessarily secure as he might think it would be?
Cloud is very interesting because it's more secure than would anything you would build yourself, most likely, because there are very smart people working on this. But at the same time, you have no controls how secure it is. And it's just, it's amazing. I love cloud. I think it's a very, very cool thing to use. And it's more secure than on-prem in most cases and for most businesses, not for every business. For most businesses, again, depend on your risk appetite, right? And your risk profile. But just imagine that your files, your information, somewhere in some data center on a server with millions of other people accessing the server. And even if there is some mistake, and it's very unlikely, they do a very good job, but then it's like anything that goes online can become public anytime, right? And yeah, you have, even in your personal communications and posts and our business, just always be ready that anything you send somewhere digital can be revealed, can become public any moment.
Yeah. So, and I think the bigger the service, the bigger the target sometimes, you know. So we've seen public exploitation. I mean, just let's take your personal life. Let's have a look at LinkedIn, for example. I mean, how many times now has LinkedIn been breached and data had been, you know, every week there's another cloud service being owned or whatever. So all you have to do is put your email address into haveibeenpwned.com and you're going to start seeing that, you know, the reality of, you know, the criminals who are going from the old on-prem kind of world to now in the cloud world. They've just shifted their target and the ones that they're really interested in, rather than working on bringing down a whole service, they're working on just finding ways into particular accounts that they're interested in, right?
So when we talk about risk and security, it's not only about protecting. Like I said, it's about adaptability, how you are quick to whatever happening around. And being breached, it's just a matter of time. So the controls are not only about encryption and access. Controls are also about when it happened, how quick you can respond to it. Do you have all the contact numbers for all the people who can help you ready? Are they printed out? Do you know what you need to do if a shit hits the fan, right? And are you ready to do this? That's also part of security controls, not only how to protect, but also how to react.
I'm really glad you brought it back to that evolution thing, because I have a question about that.
Mm-hmm.
The technology is changing at a rate that it's never changed before.
Oh.
So when a business comes to you and starts talking about risk adoption, and it, by the way, I think it's a brilliant way to look at it, that you need to be adaptable and you need to be able to evolve to changing risk profiles. But we're seeing unprecedented levels of change. How are we going to adapt to that going forward? I mean, what's next?
If we go back to this people, processes, technology, if all of your controls, 80% of them are technology, and it's changing all the time, first of all, you don't have enough controls. And second, it's changing too fast. You can't keep up. If your controls are mostly humans and processes, because again, if you look at the Gartner's stats, 95% or 90% of breaches is human mistake, right? So then people don't change so fast. It's good and bad. And you need to rely more on people and processes. What I see today in New Zealand, in organizations, people don't have enough processes. They buy a tool and new tools appear, but tools don't change so fast. I mean, like the higher risk here is in not using it properly, not utilizing the tool properly. And we can't utilize tools because we don't have enough processes supporting it and people accepting these tools. And that's why I would suggest that don't worry about tools, really. So choose something. And I would say that, and sorry about all these vendors, I would say that there's no big difference between them, because even if the tool is not ideal, if you have good processes and people buy in, you are far better than many other customer like companies that they have amazing expensive tools, but no processes and people to support it.
I absolutely wholeheartedly 100% agree with that statement, Anna. And that's, I couldn't have said it better if I tried. So yeah, great answer there.
Yeah, so really, I see this is the major problem in not just cybersecurity, but IT in general. I used to be a software engineer, and I remember this holy wars, what language are the best. Business person, I don't care what language you use, as long as you can fix it, change it, and reuse it quickly. With minimum bugs and with the cool speed of, like, if anyone can go into your code base and change it, I don't care what language it is. Same with security tools. Whatever you use, use it, because there's so many tools that pay dollars that are not used, right? And then even if there's illusion of you using them, utilizing, we have no idea, are we reducing the risks? Are we reducing the prioritized risks? What's happening? And then we have problems with the budget, and then we can prove that we bring in value. And the next year, we don't receive enough money because you spent so much last year. What are you doing? We've got other priorities. Let's cut it. So let's like dig in your own pit, right?
Absolutely. Look, I think that's us just about out of time now. So is there anything that you wanted to say to just end off with, or what you'd recommend people listening to this do next? I think you've already alluded to it somehow, and you know, getting in touch with a good consultant, but is there anything you'd like to just add to it finally?
Yeah, I think just my main message as a consultant is don't be scared, keep open mind. And I really wish people understand that we are living in a new world. It's just, we have digital lives and we are still starting fires in the middle of the office rooms in our digital lives, right? And people walk out of the windows, people start fire, people use very sharp knives to do small things. And you see the parallel with health and safety. We have rules, wear boots, wear helmet, wear gloves. This is obvious. But in the digital world, people still do crazy things.
Mm. Look, I think the people come to this podcast because they don't know and they're looking for us to help them. So I think what you've said and the way you've laid it out, I think it's brilliant. And I think a lot of people are going to really appreciate your approach and how you've talked about it, because you're right. It's business, right? It's business risk. It's not IT risk.
No.
And cybersecurity is a control to help with business risk. And
we enable them. Yep. So yeah. I really wish people start seeing security as the blocker. It's at the fence to, they will climb over eventually because they still need to get to that field. to that. But I really wish people to start seeing security as enabler. And I wish us security professionals think of ourselves as enablers, not as the like party poopers, right?
Yeah. I think that's very important as well. I wish we could actually have more time for that one, because, you know, I think for the longest time, the IT itself was, you know, a bit of a disabler. And then eventually it became a real enabler for business. Like it's, you know, much, much more of an enabler today than it ever was a disabler. Now, if we transferred that over to cyber, we'd be in a much better place, because there's a lot of cyber teams, you know, or internal cyber departments that, you know, they're the ones that switch on the firewall controls. They're the ones that lock down the software. They're the ones that really making your life bad. And, you know, you've probably gone through an office and heard people cursing that blooming cyber policy or that cyber this or that cyber that, because now they're making it difficult to do your job. Now, we have to find a more peaceful way of being able to allow people to do the work that they need to do while still making a compromise on the technology that it needs to be locked in a certain level of control and really enabling that. And it is quite a hard job to do, to get that tightrope balance well, but it's a vital part to helping people along a journey of cybersecurity in their organization, right?
We all need to exercise empathy more than so far.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to finish that. Absolutely. Yep. Empathy is so important to have in an organization, especially.
So in a nutshell, the main advice for any business, find a business-friendly security person, expert, and listen to them. That's it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Anna. How can people find you on LinkedIn or Twitter?
LinkedIn. I'm always happy to help, point to, like, it gives them a point to resources or advice. I'm also mentoring people. If you're looking for career in cybersecurity, happy to help. Just message me, contact me on LinkedIn.
We'll put the link in the podcast.
Very happy to help.
And now, Alistair, I always go first. So this time you're going to go first. Alistair, how can people reach you?
Yeah, you can get me on LinkedIn, of course. So just search for Alistair Ross. There's not too many of those in New Zealand. Actually, there is an Alistair Ross somewhere in Wellington, because one day I went to pick up my prescription and there was another Alistair Ross right beside me. So that was really wild. So whoever you are in Wellington, hey, Alistair, it's a good name you've got. Anyway, yes, you can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Twitter as well. Same sort of deal. It's X.
It's not Twitter.
I'm never going to get used to that. Sorry, Elon.
It's changing so fast. We just talked about it. Yeah,
exactly.
So, but if you want to reach out, of course, Anna works for Defend, and they're a great company and work across the GRC space. That's governance, risk, and compliance.
Yeah.
And they also work on a
very wide range of services.
Yeah. And so obviously myself, I have my own business, Revolution InfoSec. And I think the main tagline with what I do is everything starts with risk. So Anna and I kind of, we got together based on a mutual understanding of where we both stand from the cybersecurity basis. So yeah, so it's great that everything you see is like music to my ears, Anna. So really, really good to have you on the show. And of course, Revolution InfoSec is kind of the whole basis of what I do is that basis. So yeah, Sean, let's hear about how people can get in touch with you.
Oh, I'm all over the security people cringe every time I say this. So I'm all over the Instagrams, Twitters, Facebook, X, LinkedIn. You can just search on Sean G. Mueller. There's another Sean Mueller out there in IT, owns.tv, that Sean Mueller. So search on Sean G. Mueller and absolutely reach out to us. Thank you very much for listening to the Technology Whisperers. We are always looking for guests like the wonderful Anna, who's come on and talked with us. So if you're interested, reach out to us. If you have feedback, reach out to us. Alistair and I both love getting feedback. Did you get stopped? Have you been stopped on the street and said, hey, you're that Technology Whisperer guy again?
Not yet, but you know, any moment now, I expect another golden paycheck, right? That's and I'm waiting for. Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you very much for for listening to the Technology Whisperers. Again, this is our last episode of 2023. And to everybody, have a safe and happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.